Okay, let's get started.
Wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 39 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from AudioTU.com, and with me on the line once again from Melbourne, Shelton Muller. How are you?
I'm very well. Every time I hear those numbers, I keep thinking, man, do we still have something to talk about?
Mate, next week it's 40. Life begins at 40.
Well, okay, I'm going to have to come up with something really good, if that's the case.
Actually, you know what?
What?
This weekend, it's just occurred to me, this weekend will be 1 year since AudioTU.com started podcasting.
Well, congratulations. You're having a party?
Mate, it's only just occurred to me.
Yeah,
well, it was the last weekend in June when I started building the pod.
Well, there you go. You're going to have to think of something real clever, aren't
Man,
you?
Man, that's gone fast.
Yeah, that's life. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, tell
boy,
me about
boy,
it.
Oh, boy.
Well, yeah, I'll have to think about that. I'll have to work out what I'm going to do. I have to do something.
Put something on the site. Life begins at 40, you know, for Shutters Inc. And of course, we're 1 year old, you know.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, I mean, you start walking, don't you, around that time of life? So, you know, we might be just starting to get our legs. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, I hope so. So what are we going to talk about this week?
Well, part of what we're talking about today was prompted by a question from Andrew Daryl, I should say. He gives me two names and says he prefers to go by Daryl. So hello, Daryl, in Bracknell in England, who asked a question which prompted me to expand upon his question, actually. The difference between sharpness and resolution is basically what his question is about. But before we go into that, I've just come across a camera I want to tell everybody about. And it's we've talked about little Casio cameras before, and often you think of Casio in terms of calculators and things, but they've got this range of cameras out, the little compact Exalim cameras, and they are excellent cameras. This new one, the EXZ1000, is a 10.1 megapixel compact. And, you know, you'd think, wow, that's going to be one, interpolated pixels, which it isn't, and two, it's going to be as noisy as get out, but it is neither of those things. It's this is a great, great little camera. Very, very well built, 10.1 megapixel resolution, excellent exposure. The lens on it is fabulous. I've just been shooting with it, and you know, it's just been a fabulous little camera to work with. So if you're in for a little carry around compact that literally fits in your suit pocket or your jeans pocket, this is, you know, your purse. It really is a fabulous little camera. So
what are they worth, Chel?
That's a very good question. They are about 800-ish Australian, if I remember correctly.
Okay. So it's about 500 American.
Something like that, yeah. Okay. But they are a really great little camera. And, you know, we've talked about this before, but people flipping up their mobile phones to take pictures really annoys me, because what's the point when you can't do anything with a picture? It's you know, pixelated, it's poorly exposed, you know, it's grainy as hell.
Massive 320 by 240 pixels or something.
Yes, I mean, you know, make a billboard out of that. If you want something to carry around to take pictures, this is just a, you know, and you're going to get a high quality image. You know, we need to value our images more, because, you know, I was looking at some photographs on a phone the other day. A young lady was showing me a photograph of her daughter with her good friend. And this is a really cute picture, but it was taken on her phone. What's she going to do with that? You know, carry around a little camera with you that takes a quality photograph that you can just, you know, flip out of your pocket, flip out of your purse or your handbag or whatever, and take a proper picture. It takes just a little bit more effort than it does to flip up your mobile phone, but you're going to get a picture that you can do something with.
Has anybody built a decent compact into something like a Palm Pilot or something of that size?
I probably am not the right person to ask, because I just ignore that whole line of technology altogether. Yeah. You know, that's part of my personal philosophy, and maybe I shouldn't, but I just I know that they're increasing the pixels, but we still have issues with, you know, exposure and lens quality and that kind of thing. There's so much more to a good picture
and contrast
than pixels. Metering, all those things. So look, to be honest, buy something that takes a picture. I mean, all right, if you've got a camera on your mobile, it's a bit of fun, and you can MMS each other's funny pictures, and yeah, that's fine. But this really prompted me to think, here's a beautiful little picture of this, you know, this lady's daughter and her daughter's friend. trend, and it's cute. And in 20 years' time, that picture could really mean something. In 10 years' time, 5 years' time, that picture could really mean something than just a casual snap. She should have taken it with a proper camera. So, you know, something like this little Casio is just fabulous to always have with you for photographic opportunities like that, which in years to come will mean a heck of a lot more than they do now.
Yeah.
So, just a thought.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Just while we're on, the subject of what we're going to talk about, which was the difference between sharpness and resolution, let's look at the first of all what resolution is. It really is you can have a high resolving image, in other words, an image with a lot of detail, which is really what resolution is all about. To simplify it, an image with a lot of detail or potential detail that need not necessarily be sharp.
You're talking resolution in the sense of dots per inch, right?
Dots per inch, that's right. Or pixels per inch in the case of, you know, digital. Or you could have a sharp picture that isn't necessarily high resolution. So there is a difference between, you know, the two words that, you know, and what they mean. First of all, in terms of digital, resolution is, as you say, about dots or pixels per inch. If we talk about pixels per inch, then we're really talking about, you know, numbers of pixels across by numbers of pixels down. Mm-hmm. And in a, you know, in a, say, a 6 megapixel image, that's 3,000 by 2,000. So you've got, you know, 6 million odd pixels. The amount of pixels that you have across and down give you greater opportunity for more detail captured, okay? And also the more pixels you have across and down, the greater your potential to enlarge the image. If we use, and of course there are varying opinions on this, but if we use, say, a magazine print resolution of 300 dots or pixels per inch, which is what magazines work at, then you'd have, you know, something about, 10 inches across in a 3,000, you know, by 2,000 image at 300. If you want to, you know, lower your resolution, you can go down to 150, 200, and sometimes not even, you know, see the difference. So you naturally you expand on your ability to enlarge that image. Then, of course, the more pixels you have in an image, the easier it is for a program like Photoshop or,
PaintShop Pro,
Genuine Fractals or PhotoJazz or any of those to interpolate the image upwards, because it only has to add so many pixels and you get less color fringing and, you know, halos and artifacts and those sorts of things on the image.
Just to clarify, the idea of interpolation is to basically make a best guess at the new pixels being generated, right?
That's right. Yeah exactly. And that's what the programs do. They look at the pixels all around and they throw in what it considers to be the most appropriate color pixel in that place to build on the image. And the more pixels you have, the higher, you know, potential, you know, you have, or the greater potential you have to expand, to enlarge that image.
Yeah.
But you could have an image with a heck of a lot of pixels in it and still not be sharp.
Yeah.
Simply because you've, you know, used a low quality lens, you haven't focused correctly, you've, you know, blurred, you, whatever it might be.
Yeah. So there's
camera
a serious
movement. Camera movement. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of difference between resolution and sharpness. So of course, if you have got a camera that, you know, say a DSLR that is a 6, an 8, a 10, 12 megapixel, you've got something with incredible resolving power. But if you're not using good lenses, if you're not taking the time out to focus correctly, even if your exposure is wrong and you have to, adjust that in a program like Photoshop, you're going to add noise to the image simply because you've started playing with the pixels, and you remove all that, you know, all that sharpness and detail by doing those things. So take time when you're taking the picture to make sure that you're doing your pixels, your resolution, you know, the potential there, you're doing that justice by focusing correctly. And perhaps if you really want to go there, you know, using the sharpest apertures, you know, that kind of thing. This amazes me, but I see a lot of people as they hand me their cameras or, you know, look, I've just bought this camera, Shelton, what do you think? One of the first things I look at is the lens. And I am constantly amazed at you know, the amount of grease and gunk and fingerprints that people put on the front of their lenses.
Yeah.
Usually on compact cameras, but
that's for
SLRs.
The soft focus effect, though.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, put that soft focus filter on, would you? Yeah. Well, you know, the older we get, Bruce, the more we appreciate that. But you know, if they buy cameras and they're worried about resolution, how many pixels does it have? Yeah. But you know, then they go and fuck up the lens with grease and fingerprints and whatnot to keep your lens clean as well. I mean, it's a simple tip, but please, you know, keep it clean. Now, the thing about digital, and this was, you know, something that that was the first time I saw a digital image, I thought, well, it's sharp, but it's not, in that it had a different feel to film. You know, film was based on silver halide crystals in you know, embedded into a celluloid base, and it had, you know, the grain of film was actually part of its sharpness. You needed grain for it to be sharp. And a balance there needed to be required, of course, and established. But because digital images didn't have grain, they were grids of colored pixels, there was this waxen sort of look to digital images that was sharp, but not sharp at the same time. And it took me by surprise. I remember the first time I saw a really high quality digital image, and it just needed to be something. It was something I needed to get used to. A lot of people are applying, and cameras have them now, especially digital SLRs have them, is, you know, the opportunity to sharpen in camera, which is basically all it really does is increase the contrast between pixels of different tones. It doesn't actually sharpen anything, because if you think about it, you can't really, you know, do more than you can't improve on your focus. The camera doesn't do that. You can't improve on the resolution. It only has so many pixels. So how does it actually make the picture look sharper? Well, it increases the contrast between pixels of different tones so that it has an appearance, a film-like appearance of sharpness. So just a couple of tips here before we sign off is that if you want to use in-camera sharpening, I would suggest that there's no point doing that if you're shooting in RAW. Now, the idea in shooting in RAW is to get an image out of the camera that hasn't been altered by the camera in any way, or that you can alter without deteriorating the image in terms of, you know, reducing the quality of the pixels. But if you're shooting in JPEG, well, you might want to sharpen in camera, which I wouldn't over sharpen. I would use a low or medium setting of sharpening in camera. Or, of course, you can also use sharpening in, you know, PaintShop Pro or Photoshop or any of the programs that you're using. The problem with too much sharpening is that it will give you, you know, fringing at the edges, which can be very obvious, and halos. It increases, you know, any sign of noise or artifacts in a JPEG image. So don't over sharpen. There are you know, balances to be found in all of these things, and usually the best way to tell is to, you know, really magnify the image on screen if you're working on it in Photoshop or one of those programs. Bring the image right up, find some detail, and look at if you've sharpened the image. If there's too much fringing, you know, color fringing or halos between, you know, pixels of different colors, where, say, you may have, you know, an object, and you get to the edge of that object, and if there's a definite color fringe at the edge of that object that differentiates between it and the background, and it's, you know, quite obvious, then you've probably over sharpened. You know, when you first start sharpening, you think, oh, look, I'm really going to make this stand out. It's going to be pin sharp. Well, it already is sharp if you've done all the stuff we've just talked about. Got a good high resolution image, you know, you're focused well, exposed well, all those things. It already is sharp in digital terms. It's just to the human eye, it may need a little bit of an extra boost because of the way we're used to seeing images and the nature of digital, you know, as a medium. Just don't overdo the sharpening, because then it starts to look ridiculous. So you can, like I say, you can sharpen in camera if you want to save, you know, trouble and time doing that in the computer later, but I would keep it to a low or medium setting, and really I would only apply it to a JPEG, because there's no point doing it if you're shooting RAW. It sort of negates the need to shoot in RAW, or the desire, you know, the reason that you shoot in RAW. So it's just a couple of tips to keep our images, you know, sharp. But also just the point of this is, and this is thanks to your question, Daryl, the difference between resolution and sharpness. You know, his teacher was telling him all sorts of things about, you know, how you make a billboard size image out of, you know, it has nothing to do with sharpness when you're, you know, if you're talking about the size of how large you're going to make a print, it's how many pixels really you have to begin with.
Yep.
You know, sharpness is a completely different thing, and it's something that no matter how many pixels your camera takes, you need to establish. You can have an image that is screen resolution and pin sharp. You can have an image that is high resolution, 6, 8, 10, 12 megapixels, and soft, not sharp at all. There's a complete difference between the two. Let's, you know, remember that and strive for both those things so we get high quality images.
Mm. A couple of minutes ago, you mentioned tones when you were talking about fringing and whatnot, and that just made my mind wander a little bit, and I just wanted to say, last week on Sign Language and on Building the Pod, I was talking about why I went to America and how I had been approached by Lynda.com to do a video training tutorial on Adobe Audition 2.0. And one of the things that has come out of that is they told me about a free pass that you can get to Lynda.com. Now, if you haven't heard of Lynda.com, they do video training tutorials for all kinds of software.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me a link, which I'll put on the Shutter Zinc page. What it does is it gives anyone who wants to use it a 24-hour free pass into Lynda.com. And the reason I'm mentioning it now is because one of the guys there, Bruce Heaven, H-E-A-V-I-N, he did a video series, which you can access from the Lynda.com online library, all about color and tone and saturation. And it is fascinating. I'm about halfway through it. I think it's about 11 hours or something all up.
Wow.
But it is a really interesting look at the relationships between, you know, different hues, different saturations, and different lightness and dark values. And it's really started to clarify in my mind a lot about color relationships. And it's what I've been looking for so long. So I just thought I'd mention that if anyone's interested in checking it out. I'll put a link on the Shutter Zinc page and, yeah, go check it out.
Yeah.
Shelton, did you want to quickly plug your Argentina tour?
Well, I'm off to Argentina. I think we're you know, it'll probably be a little late to book it now. We're off in early August, but, you know, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have to do a few podcasts to cover us while I'm away. But
new registrations for the tour, or is it
look,
closed?
Look, I think there's still time, of course.
Is there a deadline?
We would probably be deadlining pretty close to the end of this month. So if you were thinking about it, let us know very, very quickly.
So pretty much this week.
Yeah, you'd need to let us know pretty quickly. But if you've got all your stuff together, you know, passports and visas and, you know, got your camera gear all together, I'm sure we could work that out. But the one thing I actually do want to suggest to our listeners, I want to ask you all a question. Where are your images? We set you a task last
week. Yes.
And I haven't seen anything from any of you. Now, we don't waste our time on this podcast teaching you stuff, and then you just don't go and do it. So listen, you go out there like Bruce did, and you experiment with your different lenses, your focal lengths, your depth of field settings, your, you know, and let us know that you've learned something. Otherwise, I'm shutting this baby down. You know, if you're not going to do what we ask you to do for your own well-being, what's the point of us doing it?
Oh, laying it down. Excellent. All right, mate. On that note, we'll talk with you next week.
Good on you, Bruce. Thanks,
see you,
mate.
See ya.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotou.com. Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear
when you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
audiotou.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
Control D to bookmark
audiotou.com.